I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Texans on Tap, episode 37. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Pulillo and at Josh Jordan 975. Gents, this is not the way we wanted to see the season end. But in perspective, if you offered this ending at the beginning of the season, we'd have taken it in a heartbeat. And for this game, the Texans, they went into halftime tied at 10 after a 67-yard punt return from touchdown from Steven Sims and a missed field goal from Fairbairn from 47. And that was basically as close as it was going to get going forward. Houston had zero plays inside the Ravens 25 all game. Lamar Jackson and his offense just went to work in the second half. What changed in the Texans' defense going into that second half that caused that turnaround?
Well, as you alluded to, what a fun season, right? And there's little picture and there's big picture. What a tremendous foundation poured in year one of the DeMeco Ryans, C.J. Stroud era, I think we can call it. The game, really, an unfortunate bookend to the season. There's no shame in losing to an obviously better team, and the Baltimore Ravens are significantly better than the Texans. Much changes over the span of 4 months, but opening day, it was a 7-6 game at the half, and then the Ravens took the Texans behind the woodshed in the second half. Well, divisional round of the playoffs, Kaimi Fairbairn misses a field goal you expect him to make, or maybe you're up 13-10, wouldn't have mattered. The Ravens were the better team when they went to the whip in the second half. The Texans' offense was ground into mulch, 32 yards until a few garbage yards, the final possession. And the defense just got trucked, whether worn down, whether Baltimore snapped to it, whether it had ring rust to shake off after sitting guys and not playing week 18 to end the regular season, then having the bye week. They ran it down the Texans' throat. Very rarely did Lamar Jackson have to throw it down the field. But I think a fair assessment, there's a difference between rookie of the year, which is C.J. Stroud, and MVP, which is Lamar Jackson. His legs were the difference in the game. Certainly Ravens offense to Texans defense. It's a 10-10 game. The Ravens go down the field and score. I actually didn't think it was a terrible thing that the Texans couldn't answer. They did move the ball. Cameron Johnston punches them inside the 10-yard line. But then the defense, a la the end of the Atlanta game, the end of the Carolina game, gives up a long, debilitating drive, 92-yard touchdown drive. That was just about it. But if not, the Texans go 3-and-out. And then the Ravens just run, 31-10. See you next season.
It was such a shame, right? Because towards the end of the first half, DeMeco was sending five guys at Lamar Jackson. They were getting good results. They had back-to-back sacks to end the first half. The momentum seemed to be going the Texans' way because they just kept shooting themselves in the foot with all the penalties. What'd they end up with, 11? I think the false starts were just out of control in this game. And in the second half, they couldn't get anything done. I hate to pile on, but I'm going to put a little of this, at least momentum-wise, on Fairbairn missing that field goal and then him not being able to kick the kickoff out of the end zone. And then the Ravens take it to, like, the 50-yard line, like, right around there to start the second half. So, like, Fairbairn, and you saw what it looks like when you have a great kicker on the other side with the Ravens. I remember Fairbairn missing the extra point against the Colts. I know a lot of us have been like, oh, thank God we have that guy. We need to lock him up for a longer deal. I'm not so sure about that. He's been kind of iffy in some real clutch situations over the past few weeks.
Jinxes on telecasts are nonsense. but they put it up there. He's made 38 consecutive field goal attempts from inside 50 yards, and then, of course, he pushes that one right. Baltimore is the favorite to win the Super Bowl with good reason. I mean, that's a balanced team, both sides of the ball. They have some depth. And Lamar Jackson now shirks the burden of you've never done anything in the playoffs. I think they're going to beat Kansas City or Buffalo, whichever moves on to Baltimore next week. So maybe the Texans in the end can claim we're number two, that it took the Ravens to take them out. One stat, you know, numbers can be deceiving. Context always matters. C.J. Stroud was not sacked in the game, but the Ravens brought consistent heat on him, had him on the move a whole lot, and did it a lot with just a four-man rush, which is the way Baltimore operates pretty much. The one crossing pattern late in the first half before the Fairbairn missed field goal, Nico Collins' 29-yard play. I mean, the Texans had no time to get receivers downfield, and they really are at least one receiver shy. Tank Dell is one, and I think one other. Robert Woods, I think one catch for 6 yards. John Metchie, 0 for 0. Xavier Hutchinson, 2 receptions for -3 yards. So for all the turnaround, re-entering the NFL, frankly, as a franchise this year for the Texans, the magnificence of blowing out the Cleveland Browns, the Ravens were at another level and the Texans weren't able to stay with them for 60 minutes.
And quickly, there's no running game. How many times have we seen this season where the Texans just cannot run the ball? You can't expect C.J. Stroud to go up against the Ravens on the road in a playoff game and just have to throw every down. And Bobby Slowick's catching it too for that reverse play that ended up being a total disaster that put them behind the sticks and they ended up having to punt on that drive. I didn't think Bobby Slowick had a great day. D'Amico had some trouble. I mean, Jonathan Greenard, did he do anything in this game? Do you remember he didn't do much. I just don't think he's healthy. Will Anderson, I thought, had some flashes early, but you didn't see him do much late. So Brandon, you asked like what changed? Like they weren't able to pressure Lamar in the second half. And then once it got around the fourth quarter, it kind of turned into what the Colts did to the Texans, where they could just run and get whatever they wanted whenever they wanted. And that was basically it. I will say, I think the game swung when the Ravens went for it on 4th and 1. And then Lamar Jackson kind of scrambled out of the pocket and got like, you know, something around 15 yards out of the left side. If the Texans would have stopped them on that 4th and 1, got the ball back right there around midfield, CJ had a chance there, but I put it in my notes. Once the Ravens picked up that 4th and 1 with the QB sneak, it was over.
Results driven business. So Bobby Slowick, as the play caller, can take his share of criticism. But Stroud, for the duress that he was under, wasn't very good, right? He didn't make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, very much. And the Ravens just have better defensive players than the Texans have offensive players. They played 8 quarters of football. The Texans never sniffed the end zone. Forget actually getting into the end zone for a touchdown. They never came close to getting into the end zone. Sometimes you just get beat. And in the second half, the Texans were beaten senseless.
Yeah, the first time I noticed Greenard was, I believe him, going off sides, and that was in the third or fourth quarter. You know, you talked about basically CJ not getting sacked. On the flip side, Texans got to Lamar 3 times. But for Houston, how would you get sacked if you're constantly handing off the ball? And, you know, on offense, the run game, as you mentioned, Josh, absolute nightmare, seemingly from the jump. Texans win the toss, choose to receive, and the first play out of the gate, they're running it up the gut. Singletary gets stuffed, and that basically was his night in a nutshell. It was kind of inconsequential to the final score, but thematic on the night in the first half. Ravens go up 7-3, and then Bobby Slowick calls 3 straight run plays to answer, takes the ball completely out of CJ's hands, and they end up having to punt the ball back. Again, inconsequential because a punt return for touchdown ties the game. But for as good as Slowick was calling against the Browns, I felt like bad Bobby showed up on Saturday night and had no answers for, admittedly, a really tough Ravens defense. Baltimore seemingly sniffed out every trick play, whether it was a reverse, double reverse, flea flicker, Euro step, RKO out of nowhere. And in fairness, was there anything he could have done play calling wise that makes up for the disparity in the talent Baltimore was carrying on their side of the ball?
I mean, going back to very early in the season, I just thought to try to loosen up a defense or occasionally hit a big play or draw a penalty for a big play, you need to take shots down the field. And once they lost Tank Dell, the speed component in their receiving core basically was gone. But Nico Collins made enough big plays at some point in the game. Even though Stroud was under duress, he was never actually sacked. So at some point, the good old-fashioned bomb. You go deep, and I'm going to chuck it out there and hope you can make a play. Right, Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens' best cover corner, didn't even play, out injured. In the end, the Texans' offense was just overmatched. This is a rung on the ladder for them, and it's clear there's still more climbing to do. The good news is they're very well positioned to do the climbing.
Yeah, a little bit of the coaching stuff. I would like Singletary. I felt like he got a bad spot where he picked up a first down, and on second down they didn't give him it. They marked it about a yard and a half short, and then once again on third down they try and run it. They don't get any yards, and then they punt. I felt like maybe D'Amico should have challenged that. I thought that was a mistake. And you mentioned it, Brandon. I didn't like the decision to take the ball at the beginning of the game. I was expecting them to defer, and then they go three and out, and then that's it. That whole advantage of winning the toss is gone. So the only thing that makes me give a little bit of credence to that is that it was cold, right? And the weather was only going to get worse as the game went along. It was only going to get colder and windier. So if that was the thinking, D'Amico's like, while the sun's still up, let's try and go get us some points. I can understand that line of thinking, but I was expecting them to defer. So that kind of surprised me. I would have rather had the ball coming out in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. Look, all the Texans' vibes were so positive. I don't think D'Amico Ryans was thinking, well, we better do some unconventional stuff or we can't hang with these guys. But the Ravens are the best defense in football, right? They gave up the fewest points. They led the NFL in sacks, though registering zero in this game. So to take the ball, I know you want to show confidence. We're aggressive. We're going to go get it. There's a reason that almost everyone defers almost all the time in the NFL. And it sets you up for the possible double if you can score at the end of the first half and then get the ball to start the second half. Well, in this case, the inverse, the worst happened, right? The Texans had a chance to score at the end of the first half. Fairbairn misses the kick, and then the Ravens get the ball to start the second half. And after the kickoff return that Josh referenced, you know, they go right down just over half the field, only needing 55 yards for a touchdown drive. At the field position game, the Texans had to win that. The turnover game, the Texans had to win that. They didn't win either, and obviously they didn't come anywhere close to winning the actual game.
By my count, 9 pre-snap penalties. I mean, I don't think this should have caught anyone off guard. We know Baltimore is loud. We knew it was going to be a raucous environment. Were you surprised that they just weren't really – I mean, Laremy Tunsil, George Fant – what do you attribute that to? Is that just lack of preparation that these guys weren't able to stay on their side of the ball during the snap?
You know, whether you get frazzled, I mean, every once in a while, it's just going to happen. Laremy Tunsil, frankly, needs, if not a tongue lashing, a serious sit down. You're an excellent left tackle. It's why we're paying you $25 million per year, but you do it routinely. You know, it's like a team playing zone defense illegally in the NBA. They're not going to call it every time down. I mean, they could probably call it 10 times per game if they wanted to on Tunsil. And if I was John Harbaugh going into this game or any opposition coach, I'm getting with the officials. Watch that 78. He rocks back a half beat ahead of the snap routinely. We would like that called. Tunsil has no defense for it. He clearly does it. You know, if you say, well, you don't call it on me the other times, well, this time they choose to give you the speeding ticket. That needs to be cleaned up. It just happens too often. Fant actually did pretty good work as a fill-in. Shaq Mason was okay, I guess. He did answer the bell every game. Holding call for him. Juice Scruggs joining late in the party. So Michael Dieter, if we were going to do a player of the game, was he penalty free? Was he the one penalty free offensive lineman, or am I just missing one on him?
That's yeah, I think so.
They were just overwhelmed. I mean, the Ravens, it's the best in football. And, you know, they showed Ray Lewis in a luxury box late in the game. These aren't the 2000 Ravens defensively, but they're really good. And the Texans are a reminder, right? Until the Cleveland game, they hadn't scored more than 24 points in a game in about 2 months. So, you know, Stroud, spectacular, historic rookie season. But it's not like the Texans' offense was lighting people up down the stretch of the regular season, and the Ravens just turned the lights out on them completely.
I think they were just a little flustered, Brandon, like why the O-line was, you know, that it's a big game. And I mean, after they got through the first half, they should have had the lead. And despite all those stupid penalties. They should have seen that as like, hey, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot and we should have the lead here. We're at least tied. I figured they'd carry some of that momentum, but Christian Harris, I thought, was a big factor early in the game. Like, nobody was spying on Lamar Jackson. And then they started using Christian Harris to do some of that, and he had some success. And then I guess it kind of went away in the second half. And then Christian Harris also got banged up. I know the play Cashman replaced him on one of those, and Lamar took off. I think back, missed opportunities, right? Jalen Petrie had his hands on a ball in the end zone, and then the Ravens ended up scoring a couple plays later. I mean, there were some opportunities. You know, even Stingley, he had a chance on that Isaiah Likely touchdown. He was right there. And even Troy Aikman said the coverage was pretty good, but he just couldn't get his hands on the ball and break up the touchdown. And on one of the other touchdowns to Aguilar, I noticed Stingley was the closest guy to him. So I don't know if it was a poor play by him or if he just kind of happened to be in the area. But all around, it wasn't their day, man. What's really frustrating for me is after that first half, I really thought they had a shot. I was like, they're not playing worth a damn, and they're still hanging with the Ravens. So I really had some hope, and then it was a totally different ball game in the second half.
In the end, the Ravens are just better. They're deeper. They're mature. We'll see if whether they're a Super Bowl finished product, but they're elite. They stomped the league down the stretch of the regular season, Miami and San Francisco, the Texans a cut below, but did it to the Texans in this game. And so from a Texans perspective, other than the disappointment of the game and the end of the season, that's okay, right? The Texans have work to do, but they're armed with cap space and armed with solid draft picks to work with. And I just think that D'Amico, look, money always talks most in free agency, but the Texans aren't going to have to overpay to get guys. What do I want to join that dung heap of a franchise for unless you're going to overpay me? Those days are over now. The Texans are an appealing destination for free agents, and they'll be able to target a couple of specific spots. I think one more linebacker who can run. They need to add a safety. Wide receiver, I think, can still possibly be on the board, and an interior offensive lineman. Will they be able to check those all off in free agency? Perhaps not. And they are going to have money that they're going to have to spend, right? They have $70 million in cap space. Well, they don't if they're going to re-up Jonathan Gennard. Fairbairn is up. Cameron Johnston is up. And, you know, there'll be a couple, three other players. Do you extend Nico Collins this offseason? But overall, they're still in a very good spot for roster construction pointing to 2024.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned that drive with Petrie. By my recollection, had two opportunities on that same drive to be able to get a pick, including that one in the end zone. And you talked about all the penalties, six pre-snap penalties just in the first half. And you think, okay, we've survived it. And then they come out in the second half, commit three more. In lieu of a player of the game, what's one of the most important What is the most important lesson that the Texans can take away from this game?
I don't know so much that it's a lesson other than it's a reality. They're not there yet. Overall, what a season. Right? You count the playoff win and the playoff loss, 11-8. Talk about a quantum leap forward from the 3 years of dreck before this. But the framework that now is in place is very exciting. But, you know, if they needed a reminder that they're not there yet, they got that. And it's also not a linear path to the top, right? They're going to have a much tougher schedule next season than they did this year. Another illustration of how much better Baltimore is than the Texans. Baltimore went 13-4, not even trying in the last game for the fourth loss, and against a vastly more difficult schedule than what the Texans faced. But the Texans are in the fight now with Stroud, with D'Amico, with the good feelings around the franchise and their artillery, if you will, in terms of cap dollars and draft assets. So onward and upward, but they could be a better team next year and not wind up with a better record. Fortunately, there's no one else in the AFC South that you're saying, boy, they're poised to be 12-5, 13-4.
I think Steve made a good point in the comments there. Great teams have great offensive lines. That's my biggest takeaway from this game. It wasn't just today. It was all season. They just can't run block. They're not good at it. I don't think that's a thing where they're going to coach them up to be better at it. I think they're going to have to replace some people. I don't think Titus Howard was all that great, but he's a much better right tackle than he is a left guard. So hopefully he's a little better in the run game when he gets healthy. We know Tunsil, he's a great pass protector, but he's not a road grader, you know, run blocker. So I think they're going to have to get that from their interior guys. I think Singletary did a good job with what was available to him in this game. There's just no lanes. And my biggest point to all this is we know this Shanahan-style offense. We saw it with Kubiak for years. You got to have play action. And if the run game is absolutely zero threat, then the play action is not going to hold any of these linebackers, and it's not going to open up those opportunities downfield. You have to at least have a decent run game to be able to play action fake and push the ball down the field. Until they get that fixed, I think they're kind of at their ceiling, to where when they go against the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, teams like that, they're not quite there yet. You can't be one-dimensional and win these games. And the Ravens didn't run the ball great with their running backs. They were okay. But when you have Lamar Jackson running for 100 yards at quarterback, that makes a huge difference. So the Texans just got to find a way to get some yards on the ground, take some pressure off CJ, and not be so one-dimensional to where they know what's coming.
Bobby Slowick talked with the media before this game that he was focused just on this game, although then we found out that he had conducted two interviews or had been interviewed by two teams prior to this game. What's your concern level with losing Bobby Slowick and kind of messing with the mixture of this offense? We've seen what CJ can do in this offense. What's your concern level there?
I'm going to go with mild. I mean, I'm all for the continuity of growing together, Slowick, CJ Stroud, year two. But if they do grow, well, then Slowick almost certainly would get a head coaching job after next season. But that would mean that the Texans had a good year and made improvements. And who knows, maybe they're playing in the NFL's version of the Final Four next year. But it's not like Slowick has this track record of excellence as a play caller, right? He wasn't running the show in San Francisco. So DeMeco might have someone else on that 49ers staff that if Slowick was to get a head coaching job, hey, you want to come be my coordinator here and play caller? So, I'm not calling for the Texans being better off if Slowick gets a head coaching job. But I don't think it debilitates the offensive outlook going into next season.
You know, it's funny, Brian, we talked about maybe making a video out of this. I wonder if they do lose Slowick, would it make sense to try and keep everything else a lot more the same for CJ, to keep that continuity, as in bring back Dalton Schultz? They already kind of have a chemistry together. You know, you're going to have Nico and Tank next year. Do you try and kind of keep everything else around CJ kind of the same? So if he does lose a coordinator, at least he's used to throwing to these tight ends, receivers, running backs. I wonder if that's something they'll look at. But not only the offensive line, they got to get another playmaker. That's for sure. Because Nico has been terrific. But with Tank, as good as he is, you know, where was he today? He was hurt. Do you have any guarantee that he's not going to spend a lot of his career banged up? And you're not going to win a lot of games when he only – I mean, I love John Metchie and all these other guys and Hutchinson, but they're not doing anything. I mean, it's Nico or bust, sometimes Schultz. He had a big drop tonight. So I think they got to get some more talent on the offense, on the line, and at the skill positions.
Wrong side of 30, and we'll have plenty of time to play the name game before free agency actually starts. But Mike Evans likes spending time back home in Galveston. He'd be an interesting companion for Nico on the outside with Tank Dell covering that inside.
Yep.
Well, I wish Bobby Slowick the best of luck, and I think he probably will make a fine head coach. I think he's going to find, though, that it's a much tougher road to hoe when you don't have CJ Stroud as your quarterback. We're going to be doing a final episode of Texans on Tap on Wednesday, and that's going to be a final episode of the season, kind of giving a preview of some free agency options that are out there. What do they do with their guys who are free agents that are on the staff right now? And we'll kind of do a little sneak preview into 2024. And as always, you can listen to that early on podcast. So go give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thanks to everyone for joining us here all season. For Josh, Charlie, go Texans.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.